Welcome to Divorce Talk, a podcast for people who are contemplating divorce, going through one, or would like to know everything about the divorce process. Each episode, you'll hear from Chicago divorce lawyers from Bierman LLP, one of the largest divorce and family law firms in the state of Illinois, speak on all things divorce, from child custody, divorce litigation, mediation, the collaborative process, and everything in between. Now, here are your hosts, the Bierman Divorce Lawyers.
Divorce Talk Podcast. I'm Sandra Napoli Diargo, Chief Marketing Officer for Bierman LLP, and I'm here today with divorce and family law partner Morgan Stogsdill and Nikki DiBartolo and Benjamin Heldfund from Our Happy Divorce. They are a divorced couple who not only have created a tight-knit, enviable family as a result of their divorce, but they also now work together. So, Nikki and Benjamin, when did you divorce and how did you go from divorce to working partners?
Well, we divorced about 13 years ago and it just kind of evolved. It definitely didn't start right from the beginning. You know, we were like any divorced couple in the beginning that did the drop-offs without talking and not really looking at each other. But we sort of decided early on that that's not the way we wanted to be.
Like Nikki said, it didn't just happen. I mean, I think that that's the one takeaway from our absurd story, which might sound absurd to anybody going through a divorce or anybody who's been through a bad divorce or anybody who maybe even had a good divorce that we have such a good relationship today. But it was 13 years in the making and it took time and we didn't just jump right into it. We didn't just jump into a business together. We didn't just jump into hating each other. We took time in the
beginning. We had to get out of the businesses together first in order to be able to get into a new one together.
That's a pretty good point. It came full circle because we had a lot of commingling and businesses and assets together that we had to unwind because of the divorce. Through the process, we decided in the beginning that we needed to take time. I think, you know, one mistake that we almost made starting the divorce in a frame of mind of resentment, fear, anger, hatred, you know, whatever, all those feelings people feel when they get divorced. People don't leave the houses and decide to get divorced because everything's great. But we took time and healed, tried to clean up some of the past so we could move forward. And so 13 years later, this thing has sort of evolved and Nikki's moved on, remarried. I've remarried. I have two kids and we are bestest of friends. The business was an idea that I had and needed to sort of twist Nikki's arm a little bit to write a book with me because she's not as open as I am, I guess is a fair say. She's more reserved.
A bit. When it comes to stuff like
when
that.
It comes to, you know, sort of
personal things.
Spilling your personal. And again, it was just meant because it was the idea because people kept on commenting on our life. Because we would go about our normal life and post on social media. You know,
people would ask, how did you do it?
Right. And you know, vacations together. And people were like, what? You know, how did you guys do this? And then we started getting phone calls, both positive and negative from friends. I had a friend in Canada whose wife left him and said, don't think we're going to be like those effing health funds. You know, or on the flip side, people started calling and say, hey, you know, I'm going through this divorce. Can you give me some advice to how to get through it? So it's worked on both ways. So finally, I'm like, we have to tell our story. And just tell it. I mean, it's not, we're not telling people what to do.
And here we are.
And, you know, we're not telling people, the book isn't about telling people what to do or.
It's our story.
It's just our story.
So was your divorce amicable or was it not amicable?
I think it had always been amicable from my side.
Oh.
I always kind of took, well, my parents, let me backtrack. My parents are still married 52 years later. So from day one of our divorce, I always wanted to have it be as amicable as possible for Asher because
you're also a fixer.
I am a fixer. Yeah, and I like, and my thing is just to fix things, make things better. Let's get along. Let's do this. Let's try this. Let's try that.
Let's even stay married.
Yeah. For a minute it was, let's stay married. But that was like, nope, that's not going to work. All right. So I, from day one, wanted to make sure that Asher grew up as close to the way I grew up as possible. But then I had this one.
Yeah. And I was in a bad spot personally in my life. It manifests itself in, you know, our marriage, obviously, but I was not in a good place emotionally. We had moved to Florida from San Francisco. I hated Florida. I hated Nikki for bringing me to Florida, not realizing that I was actually the one who made the decision to move to Florida. Treated like she handcuffed me and put me in a straitjacket and dragged me to Florida unwillingly. But so it manifested itself in this relationship. I left the house and it was all Nikki's fault. I was pointing the finger. I was, you know, blaming her. If only she had done this, if only she had
done. He didn't like me much then.
Yeah. And so I left angry. And I grew up with the opposite of Nikki. My parents got divorced and it wasn't, just for the sake of argument, say it wasn't a happy divorce. And the only people that ended up getting hurt were my brothers and my sister and I. And so I left the house, but I also only knew that way. You know, I only equal divorce with my parents, which was, and all my parents' friends and in the '80s and everything else, that it was warfare. It was.
Divorce was daggers.
And so it took a while for me to get to a place where I could see, you know, my part. And when I talk about taking that time to heal, I needed to heal and see my part in the ending of our marriage and do some work on myself before I could even go down the route of even talking about divorce or hiring a lawyer or doing anything. Because I knew that all these decisions were going to be made from the wrong point of ego and anger and everything else.
Sharing your story like the two of you are doing helps so many people. Morgan, you see this every day. I know from working with you personally, you see, you know, the worst of the worst and sometimes turns out positive. How unique is Nikki and Benjamin's situation?
Well, I think that's why Nikki and Ben and I connected, was it is unique where they've been and how they've come along. I mean, most people strive, their goal coming out of a divorce is they want to be able at the end of the day to attend their children's graduation together or their weddings together. And that's way in the future in a lot of people's cases. Nikki and Ben coming full circle where they were anger-wise, but now they're running a business together, living down the street from one another, raising essentially their child together and commingling two different families. They're blending families. That's really unique. So I think it's very impressive what they're doing. And that's why I was interested in their book and talking to them more.
Yeah, so I just want to add more. It's such a good point because at the time, 13 years ago, after we were at a coffee shop and I made amends to Nick for my part, because I'd done some work on myself and I realized, you know what? I wouldn't want to be married to me either. I was just not a good person. And then she in turn apologized to me. And then we joke, but it's sort of the truth that it's the first and only time in the 20 plus years we've known each other that we've authentically apologized to each other. But after that moment, our goal was exactly that, Morgan. It was to be able to be in the same room.
A birthday party, you know, some sort of school event. That was it.
Right. And not have everybody around us. Most importantly,
feeling the tension.
Yeah, feeling the palpable tension in the air that you feel when you're around a divorced parents.
Nikki and Benjamin, you have one son, correct? Mm-hmm. So how was Asher throughout all this? Was he unfazed by it from the very beginning? Or, you know, at some point when the two of you made amends, you know, did things change for him?
I think, you know, he definitely went through a little period where I knew something was different within him. There was also a part of us that we went to a parent-teacher conference very early on just to check in, see how he was doing because we were going through a divorce. And his teacher, we asked him how, you know, how's he doing? What's, you know, we're going through a divorce. I just kind of want to know what's, you know, how he's doing. And she said, I would not have known one bit that there was something going on at home with the way he is. Which was, you know, a blessing for us. But I also think there were certain things, you know, he noticed that on mornings that my bed wasn't messed up the way it should be if two people were sleeping in it. He walked in one day and he said to me, "Hey, mommy, where did daddy sleep?" And at this point, Ben was coming in the morning, just before kind of like, you know, hide it. He'd leave at night and come in the morning. And he was smart enough to realize that, I mean, he was probably three and a half.
Three or four.
And he realized that things weren't the way they were supposed to be in my room.
And I just want to make it, and again, we're not professionals, but I have been through a divorce with my parents and experienced that. And I've also experienced my son's openness. And I think we don't give our kids enough credit for being smart. And we also try to buy our own BS by saying that kids are resilient and they'll get over it.
I mean, too, there's a story that was, a couple of years ago, Ben and Asher were on a trip together and Asher looked at him and said, "Dad, you know, this divorce is really hard on me." And, you know, Ben's first thought was, "Are you kidding me? Like,
what
your mom and I have accomplished is pretty amazing." But then he's like, I had to, you know, sit back and understand that it is hard. No matter how easy you make it on a child, it's still hard. It's still the back and forth. It's like a tennis ball. who's packing his stuff to go here? Then you got to come here, and then you forget a book here.
And not being able to spend. I mean, at the end of the day, it would never be a kid's decision for their parents to be divorced, right? I mean, I think that maybe older ones who are, in their late teens and early 20s would understand, but a young kid can't comprehend why their mom and dad aren't together. And he was older. He was 14 years old, but it hit me, even with all the other stuff I had to deal with growing up, just the logistics of living in divorce house, two houses and moving back and forth. And, I think it's important for people to realize that. And what we accepted was we were not going to hand our son an emotional bill for him to pay for something he had no choice in. It wasn't his choice for Nick and I to meet, for us to start dating, for us to get married, for us to have him. And it certainly wasn't his choice for us to get divorced. And so why should he suffer the consequences and have to be burdened with that emotional bill to pay?
Morgan, what's your perspective, seeing so many cases, on how cases either resolve or drag on based on the relationship between the two parties, not only when they are divorced, but I know you see a lot of clients once they are divorced, you kind of follow them along through their journey, because even after they're divorced, they need your guidance and navigation to get through things.
So when I see clients that are not amicable whatsoever, and they're going the litigation route, which is sometimes inevitable, mm-hmm. they're more likely to continue the court process throughout the children's minority. And that's more detrimental to a child. That's what the research has shown, basically, that the children are very affected negatively by court litigation. So if you start in that process, a lot of times that's the only process they know to get things done, and it will continue. That's why I'm a proponent of mediation, because you can be creative. Even if you're not the most amicable couple, we can work together with the other side to help the children, put them first. Also help tone everything down. So one of the things that Ben was talking about was, Asher and not putting him into a situation that he didn't create. And that's the biggest thing for parents to recognize. If we can get into a mediation setting, set goals about your children, what you want in the future, you remind yourself of what's important. Also, the children come out ahead, because one of the things that I like to do that's really creative is work with as a group to tell the children, one, what's going on? Because like Ben and Nikki said, they're smart. It doesn't matter if they're 3 or 4. They know something is going on, no matter how amicable you are. Things are just different. And so they're knowing a lot more than we think they're knowing. So if there's a united front and everyone agrees on what they're going to say and how they're going to do things, the children come out a lot better and we can get this divorce done a little quicker. So that's my recommendation always. And that's kind of what Ben and Nikki have done.
So Ben and Nikki, so fast forward, you have this business together.
We haven't killed each other yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you, if you couldn't stay together, married, but now you have this business together, do things ever escalate to the point that they were? How do you manage this?
Oh, yes, they do. They just recently did. We've recently gotten a fight.
Look, the book is our happy divorce. The book does not...
We fight like brother and sister.
Exactly.
We say mean things to each other and we'll yell.
We. The Italian over here, the spoiled Italian, has a short temper. But one thing, I've known her for 20 plus years and her bark is a lot worse than her bite. And so I know when Nikki goes off on a handle and says just, mean.
There's underlying truth when I say it, but sometimes it's like covered in a lot of mean.
You go on saying. But anyways, the thing about what we've found through this whole process is that we love each other. We are not in love with each other.
No.
And we were never in love with each other, but we genuinely love each other. And I think that everybody, whether it's a dating relationship or a marriage, at some point you guys liked each other. At some point we, liked each other. And then unfortunately for Nikki and I, we just got being in love and love each other mixed up. And we got married when we shouldn't have. And when we went through every red light that was out there, every stop sign, every railroad track,
we just flew right through
them. We just went right by them. And then we tried to fit a square peg in a round hole, a couple.
But I wouldn't take it back for anything.
Right. Because we have our son.
Yes.
So, Nikki, my personality, although I think I've evolved as a person somewhat, I still have character defects. And Nikki still has character defects. those are still there. So, you know, some of the things that drove us each other crazy in our marriage are still there.
Right.
You know, parenting, we have different.
But you're like a child that like you borrow from somebody, each one of us, okay, that we can give back.
Right.
I love your children and I spend so much time with that, but I can still give them back and they don't live with me.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, is that even from parenting styles, right? Nikki and I have different parenting styles. We have different personalities, but we would have those whether we were married or right. not. You know, my wife and I have different parenting styles, but we compromise, we discuss, and we find some, you know, balance. And that's what Nikki and I've done the past 13 years. So business is no different. The book took 4 years to write, not because it took us 4 years to write 180 pages, but it's 4 years of trying to figure out the right way, getting in fights, Nikki saying, I'm not doing your effing book. You could stick it where the sun doesn't shine. And then we wouldn't talk for a couple of weeks and about the book. So look, it's like being in business with your sister. It's like being in your business with your best friend. Sometimes businesses are even more complicated than marriages, especially when it comes to unwinding. But this is not, you know, necessarily, it's not to make money. We want to just tell our story. We self-published it through a publisher. We wanted to let people, you know, understand that there's hope, that it can be different. And especially if Nikki and I can do it, we are convinced that anybody can do it. But there's certain things, and as Morgan knows, the beginning of divorce, and then sometime, you know, when you bring new partners, there are landmines everywhere, you know, and I think one wrong step and it could send it, you know. We did step on the landmines and you know, but we kept on keeping our head down to a simple equation. And that was 2 + 2 had to equal 4 for Asher and with the decisions we made. Sometimes those answers to Nikki and I might've felt so far away from 4, it was ridiculous, but they equaled 4 for Asher. So we went for them. I mean, we really had to keep it simple because it wasn't easy, but you know, when it came to custody, financial settlement, custody to things today, it has to equal 4. During this COVID thing, Asher's at my house, you know, the custody doesn't change, but when he's at my house during the day, he goes over to Nikki's to go to school and to study because she doesn't have any kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old who think their big brother's a superhero and would never leave him alone. So 2 + 2 = 4 that he go over to Nikki's house to study. For me, I could be, wait, that's my time. You know, how dare say, you know, but what's important is that he go to a place to study and to, you know, quiet. And so 8 = 4 for him, but it might not equal 4 for me. So we always go with what the answer is 4 for Asher.
Oh, I love your story. I really do. Morgan, from your perspective, what's the takeaway from all this, from Nikki and Ben's story?
The takeaway is it's easy to forget what matters most when you're going to war. And everyone gets their artillery ready when they think they're going to a divorce situation. So it takes a long time to unwind that, to bring everybody back down. And like Ben said, you step in landmines. It's inevitable. It's inevitable with parenting. It's inevitable going through a divorce. And it's how you get out of those landmines and bring it back to what matters most, such as your children or what your goals are, that gets you out of the divorce, you know, in a healthy manner, in a quick manner, in a not spending all your money manner. And that's what's important.
And can I also add that I think, Morgan, you echoed these comments that Nikki and I did in the beginning after we had, you know, sort of taken time, taken it slowly. Instead of going in, it did collaborative, but it was sort of new at the time. But I talked to Nikki and said, let's just sit down and coffee and see where we agree. And this wasn't, you know, me putting a piece of paper in front of Nikki and telling her to sign it or her doing it to me. We just wanted to see, let's just see where we agree at first. And what ended up happening was over a few meetings, we came up with our whole settlement. And it's not that anybody was coerced or, you know, we would go back and we talk to our counsel or we talk to our representatives. We built a team, which included lawyers, but she was on my team and I was on her. It wasn't two separate teams. It was one team, but we sat down as the business people, as the principals, and tried to figure out where we got along. So there was no her team, my team, and it ended up being that we figured out the whole thing by ourselves.
Yeah. So, you know, I think most people, well, I don't know, Morgan, you could probably talk to that more, but people want to put the children first, right? Everyone has the best interest of their children at heart, but just can't put their differences aside because of the hatred that they have for each other. So Nikki and Ben, what advice, I mean, you've provided great advice here, but you know, if there's one thing you want people to take out of this podcast, What advice would you provide to them?
I would say you're sorry and mean it. Stop looking in the past and just keep looking forward.
Slow.
The past wrecks you.
Yeah. And no decisions can be made, at least for us, until that past was cleaned up. So I think that one piece of advice that I would give people is we accepted that it takes two to make a relationship. It takes two to ruin a relationship. There cannot be a villain. There cannot be a bad guy. It cannot be laid at one person's feet, the blame. So what, you know, we did was we cleaned it up. We both said we're sorry. And that didn't shut the door on the past, but it cleaned up the past so we can move forward. I don't think anything, at least I couldn't make any productive, you know, path to our happy divorce decisions in the mind frame that I was in until I got real with her and until we cleaned up the past, you know. And one thing with all, you know, I know Morgan's on board with this and want to find a different way. But when I was in that frame of mind, I went out and I did Google research and I found the biggest shark lawyer, bulldog lawyer I could find because I needed somebody that was going to say I was right and come up with a plan to destroy Nick, because that's the frame of mind I was in. And he was happy to do it. And he was happy to feed me with what I could do and what my rights were and all this stuff, because that's the frame of mind that I was in. I was living in the past. And then once I cleaned it up, all of a sudden I was like, okay, I don't want to work with that guy. And I'm going to find somebody who's on the same path as me. So again, take it slow. I think that, you know, the other thing that we said earlier, which is so important, is although how ridiculous our story might sound now, we could never have imagined it 13 years ago. So what we did at the beginning was, you know, aim big, you know, and miss small. So we were just trying to be in the same room together, like, you know, Morgan had said, and then it's evolved. So it's going to take time, but it's possible. And no matter what happens, you got to put the kids first. And that can't be used as ammunition. The frame of mind I was in, I could have told you it was best for Asher or at least convinced myself it was best for Asher to find out what a fraud his mom was, or to find out what type of person I thought his mom was. And so sometimes what's best for the kids, if you're not frame of mind, you buy your own, you know what. And so you have to get honest with yourself and what's best for your kids. So.
Well, you've provided so much information. I was going to close, but I have to latch on to one last thing that you said that I think is so important. And Morgan, I want you to talk about this if you can. Ben, you mentioned when you were going through the divorce, you wanted to find that shark lawyer, the person who's going to destroy her, you know, bring her to hell. Morgan, I know a lot of lawyers will tell people exactly what they want to hear, as Ben mentioned. Maybe just talk just a little bit about what people really should look for when hiring a lawyer.
Right. So that was going to be my takeaway, was find the right professional. The sharks, that's old school, in my opinion. We're the new, you know, my era is the new up and coming attorneys that are trying not to ruin families. Yes, we could be sharks if we need to be. That's not a problem. So you need to find a lawyer that's versatile, that can do it all. But the fact of the matter is, you don't lead with that. You don't want to do that because it's only going to ruin things and make it worse. At some point, maybe it's inevitable that you need to go to court. But the bottom line is, find someone that's going to tell you straight up what is going to happen in the case, but also maintain amicability. If the lawyer straight out of the gate is telling you we're going to, you know, blow up everything, go to court, I would not suggest that that's probably a good fit. Also, you want someone who listens, because every case is so different. Mm-hmm. And anyone who wants to say that my neighbor got this or my friend is doing this, it doesn't apply to everyone's case. So you need to listen to the couples and to the client and make sure that you're doing things that they want to make their family intact. At the end of the day, I can't sleep at night knowing that I've broken up a family or that a child is suffering and that I didn't do my best to try to tone things down. And that's what everyone should be doing these days. So I think shark is old school. New school is let's get it done and keep the family intact.
That's awesome. I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes. Yeah, I mean, literally awesome. that somebody, you know, who's been on both sides is now, and that's our experience too, is that there's so many professionals out there like Morgan who are, let's just take a step back from this. You know, the shark that I hired gladly took very big retainer from me and wrote up a game plan, literally 40 pages long, about how we were going to destroy Nick, what I told him I wanted to do. Nikki jokes that is probably the same one he uses over and over again and just changed the names on it. But, you know, it wasn't until I opened up that War and Peace game plan and got two pages into it, was it that I had my moment of clarity. For the first time in a long time, I was like, this is not going to end well. I know how this is going to end because I went through with my parents. And that's when the shift happened. So it was the best, you know, big fat retainer I ever spent. Because I called them on Monday and said, you know, I want to find a different route. And if you could send me back the retainer. And I got a check back for $327 out of a very big check that I wrote in him. So conveniently, but it was the best money I ever spent.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki and Benjamin. Keep doing what you're doing. It's truly admirable and you're changing lives. So I'm sure it's a good feeling to do what you're doing.
Well, so are you and so is Morgan. And we're lucky we found her. And I know that we will do something together in the future in some capacity because we want to have more stories like us who've been in it 13, 15, 20 years. Like Morgan said, changing families for the better, not the worse.
Well, thank you for listening to the Divorce Talk podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
And like us on Facebook and LinkedIn. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Divorce Talk. Visit our website at www.biermanlaw.com, where you can subscribe to the show so you'll never have to miss a single one. Please also follow us on Facebook and LinkedIn and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating. Be sure to tune in next time for another enlightening episode.